This is DW News, and these are our top stories. Germany has extended its current lockdown until at least mid-February. With tighter restrictions introduced on what types of masks must be worn in public places and more working from home. Chancellor Angela Merkel and the leaders of the country's 16 states announced the measures following concerns over new variants of the virus. The top Republican in the U.S. Congress, Mitch McConnell, has openly blamed outgoing President Donald Trump for provoking his supporters to attack the Capitol earlier this month, saying the mob was, quote, fed lies. The comments came on Trump's last full day as president. Joe Biden's presidential inauguration is on Wednesday. An independent panel has criticized China and the World Health Organization for their response to the pandemic. The panel said Beijing should have intervened more forcefully from the outset and that the WHO should have declared an emergency sooner. The panel also denounced the unequal supply of coronavirus vaccines and rollout programs in rich and poor nations. This is DW News from Berlin. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at DW News or visit our website, dw.com.
In less than 24 hours, Donald Trump will depart the White House without welcoming its new resident, soon-to-be President Joe Biden. A final break with tradition by a president who came to power promising to break all the rules. And he delivered on that promise at home and abroad. Tonight, Trump's former national security adviser, John Bolton, joins me to discuss the global order after 4 years of America First, the good, the bad, and the broken. I'm Brent Goff in Berlin. This is The Day.
What do you have to lose by trying something new like Trump?
This pandemic, this horrible plague that came in from China.
It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
The United States
will withdraw
from the Iran,
from the Paris
nuclear deal.
Climate Accord.
For absolutely no reason, and for absolutely no reason, I got impeached.
Frankly, we did win this election. A new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Also coming up, the cold, hard truth about the Russian winter. Every year on January 19th, Russians test their body and soul by taking the plunge in the festival of the Epiphany.
Why are you doing this?
It's Epiphany today, so we have to wash away all our sins.
So you think the water has magic powers?
No idea, but believing is everything.
Well, to our viewers on PBS in the United States and to all of our viewers around the world, welcome. We begin the day on the eve of the end of the presidency of Donald Trump. These are the final hours that Donald Trump can call himself U.S. president, the final hours that he can call the White House his home. He has spent most of the day, we understand, meeting with advisors and issuing some 100 presidential pardons. It is doubtful that he spent a minute preparing the Oval Office for soon-to-be President Joe Biden. Trump will not attend Biden's inauguration tomorrow, and he will not be at the White House to greet the new president and first lady. The respect shown to Donald and Melania Trump by Barack and Michelle Obama 4 years ago will not be on offer tomorrow. Trump will be gone by noon on Wednesday. Gone, but not for good. As President-elect Biden will soon experience, the reach of the Trump presidency will be long and lasting. Tonight, we survey what 4 years of President Donald Trump meant to America's role in the global order. What has changed, what is broken, and what can, if possible, be repaired. DW's chief international editor, Richard Walker, starts us off.
Chaos in Washington. A pandemic out of control. An economy on the brink.
They do not get
a nation profoundly divided.
They ruled
that this election was not fraudulent?
The U.S. has enough crises going on at home to take up the energy of any new president. But the rest of the world looks every bit as daunting. China is now a rival superpower. Russia is openly hostile. And climate change threatens everything. Unveiling his foreign policy team, Joe Biden said he would tackle all these challenges by rejecting Trump's slogan of America First and reviving American leadership at the head of the Western alliance.
America is back, ready to lead the world, not retreat from it, once again sit at the head of the table, ready to confront our adversaries and not reject our allies.
This new spirit from Biden is being warmly welcomed here in Berlin and in other capitals around Europe. And yet on this crucial issue of China, the Europeans have started doing their own thing. The EU has just agreed a sweeping investment treaty with Beijing, ignoring requests from the Biden team to wait and work together. Angela Merkel herself was the driver of the deal, which will be a moneymaker for German companies. It's not a great omen for Biden's plan to hold a summit of democracies. He wants free societies to line up together to challenge China, seeing it as a growing threat to democracy everywhere. He'll want Europe fully on board. European leaders do often condemn China over human rights abuses, but that rarely turns into action. And many are wary of being sucked into a long-term conflict between the US and Beijing. But any European hedging on this could expose the underlying tensions in the transatlantic relationship, which burst into the open under Donald Trump.
If Europeans believe that they can remain neutral in a growing rivalry between the United States and China and sort of have equally good relations with Beijing and Washington, and at the same time expect the United States to be the first responder whenever anything happens in Europe, I think they're living in a dream world, that's not going to be possible.
This was the heart of the crisis between the US and Europe during the Trump years. Trump scorned European allies as freeloaders, and that has shaken trust, perhaps even permanently, because one day, Trump or someone like him could be back.
Now, if Europeans look at the transatlantic alliance, there is a stronger degree of caution than there was before the Trump years, that Europeans need to build up their own resources and their own strategies to be able to act in a more independent way.
The death throes of the Trump administration have added to fears that the US has become fundamentally unstable, a power that allies can never again depend on in quite the same way. Ultimately, that means that Biden's success or failure at home will profoundly affect what he can achieve abroad. He says America's back, but the rest of the world is asking, is it too broken to lead?
Well, my first guest tonight can speak with authority about the presidency of Donald Trump. In his book, The Room Where It Happened, former National Security Advisor John Bolton offers a detailed account of his 17 months as National Security Advisor to President Trump. John Bolton also served as U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations under President George W. Bush. Ambassador Bolton joins me tonight from Washington, D.C. Ambassador, it's good to have you on the program. You recently said that Donald Trump is the political equivalent of a street rioter. We know that in less than 24 hours, he will no longer be president. How should America's allies, how should they be feeling tonight?
Well, I think foreign governments, foreign people in general should understand that Donald Trump is an aberration in American politics. He's an anomaly. He's not an indication of the future of American politics or the stability of our Constitution. I think the inauguration of Joe Biden will return a sense of normalcy to the country, not necessarily the normalcy that I'd like to see. I didn't vote for Trump or Biden. I wrote in the name of a real conservative Republican. But I think our hope is that Biden can return to a less polarized, less highly partisan political dialogue, and I think that will be good for the country and good for our relations with the rest of the world.
I want to draw a moment from your foreign policy experience. You tweeted that the first crisis for President Biden could be a national or a threat to national security from Iran. Do you blame that on Trump's maximum pressure policy?
No, if anything, I blame it on the president for not following through on the logic of that policy and bringing the regime in Tehran down. I don't think we're going to have real peace and security in the Middle East until the regime of the Ayatollahs is replaced, not just because of their threat on nuclear weapons, but because of their continued support for terrorism and their conduct of more conventional military operations in Iraq, in Syria, in Lebanon, and in Yemen.
We know that the U.S. president took the United States out of the Iran nuclear deal. You were in favor of that. It happened much to the dismay and the opposition of the other signatories of that agreement, including Germany and the U.K. Tell me, what did you know, what did Donald Trump know that apparently the British and the Germans still do not know about the danger of the Iranian regime?
Well, they may appreciate the danger of the regime, but they overestimate the effect of an agreement that Iran signed that said that it should not get nuclear weapons. The deal itself, the 2015 deal, is based on a flat-out lie by Iran that they never had a nuclear weapons program. We know after the daring Israeli intelligence raid, if we didn't know it before, that of course they had a nuclear weapons program, and I think they never gave it up. There's been no strategic indication that the Iranian leadership is prepared to do that. So this is yet another agreement by one authoritarian state to a bunch of gullible democracies that says, we'll give up that nuclear weapons program in exchange for tangible economic benefits. The North Koreans have done it, by my count, four times in the past 25 years. So the Iranians knew what their audience was, and I think what Trump did was to say, I'm not going to play this game anymore.
And if President-elect Biden, if he tries to inject the U.S. back into that nuclear deal and everyone else says yes, is that going to be, in your eyes, a disaster?
Yeah, sure. It will allow Iran to continue along the course that it's now pursuing. Look, it was the critical mistake that was made in this deal, and it was made at the instance of the United States. I'm not blaming the European countries, was to allow Iran to have any uranium enrichment or plutonium reprocessing capability at all. You know, when the U.S. licenses nuclear technology to Saudi Arabia or the United Arab Emirates, two of our friends in the region, just a few months ago, the United Arab Emirates recognized the State of Israel. To get American nuclear technology, they had to give up any claim to enrich uranium or reprocess plutonium. Then they turn around and find that we're allowing Iran to do just that. So all I'm saying is we should treat Iran just like we treat good friends like the United Arab Emirates, the Saudis, and others, and give up the front end and the back end of the nuclear fuel cycle. I don't think they'll do it because it has nothing to do with the peaceful use of nuclear energy. Mm-hmm. It has to do with having an indigenous nuclear weapons program.
Let me switch gears here and talk about domestic politics for a moment. The Democrats, we understand, may call witnesses in the impeachment trial of Donald Trump. Have you been contacted about being a witness and testifying?
No, I have not.
I know that you refused to testify in the first impeachment trial. If you are asked this time around, Ambassador, will you say yes?
No, I didn't refuse to testify in the first impeachment trial. And, you know, the Democrats never issued a subpoena for me. What happened was they issued a subpoena to my deputy, Charles Kupperman, which was followed immediately by a letter from the White House counsel directing him not to attend his deposition by order of the president. So Kupperman had the Congress telling him to do one thing and the president telling him to do the other. And he did something that really offended the Democrats in the House of Representatives. He asked a federal judge, who do I obey? Well, faced with that outrageous behavior by Kupperman, the Democrats withdrew their subpoena and never issued one to me. So I'm here. They know my address. If they want to send me a subpoena, I'll look at it with care.
Will you say yes?